seated. Let's go to Acts chapter number 20. Thank you, Elias. Sorry to squash you on that right there. We have just a few moments, and I've enjoyed the chapel today, and I think you have been helped and blessed by it as well, and I thank the Lord for that. Acts chapter 20, we're continuing a series of messages on finishing your course with joy. Everybody's going to finish their course. How is really determined about how you face and how you deal with people, pride, and problems. Circumstances. Some people don't finish their course with joy because they let people move them. Whether it be a false teacher or maybe a podcast or something. But the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, he is standing on the shores of Miletus. He is looking into the eyeballs of multiple pastors that he spent 3 years with teaching in the school of Tyrannus. They are gathered with him there. There's also seven other men that are with him, probably including Dr. Luke, who is writing the book of Acts, and his personal physician. And he's telling them, hey, listen, I was with you at all times. You knew when I was crying because we were persecuted by the Jews. We were hiding out and in times of difficulty and fear, and we had to face those things. You saw me at all times. And while I was with you, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you, and I taught you, publicly in the church services, in the chapels, in the classrooms that we met in the ministry, and then privately, house to house, I discipled you, I spent time with you, and I kept back nothing that was profitable. If it helped you, I gave it to you. And you know my MO. Paul said to them, hey, listen, I gave the gospel to the Jew and Greek alike. I witnessed to every person so that my hands are really clean from the blood of all men. I've tried to be as faithful as I possibly can. He said, now, me and these guys, we're heading to Jerusalem. And I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but this is what I'm sure of. The Holy Spirit's told me that bonds and afflictions are in my future. I'm going to get arrested again. And he did. I'm going to be afflicted again, beaten and pulled and jerked and eventually beheaded. And it did happen. But then he said, none of these things move me. Read the verse with me if you would please. Can we please look at chapter 20, verse number 24. I want you to read it. If you don't have any verse in your Bible underlined, this will be a good one to underline. Circle, put an asterisk out in front. This is a great verse of Scripture. Let's read it together. But none of these things... As I think about this, and young people, pastor is not all he ought to be. I am embarrassed sometimes thinking that God lets me be the pastor of First Baptist Church, and by virtue of that, be the president of the college. But one thing I do long for every staff member, I love them. I love my wife, Linda. I love those kids that call me dad. I love my beautiful daughter-in-laws, Jillian and Ruby, and my son-in-law, Phil. And I love you, and I want you to finish your course with joy. I want you to be glad you did and not wish you would have. I don't want you to take the exits off the high road of holiness. I don't want you to find yourself in a ditch somewhere. You're going to hit some hard times. I mean, good night in the morning. If you keep breathing, you're going to hit some hard times. You're going to go through some difficulties. You're going to experience some rejection, some fear, some challenges, some disappointments from people around you and people above you. They're going to hurt you. What they do is going to really be how they treat you, what they say to you, how they conduct themselves. You're going to go like, you're going to have an aha moment and say, I can't believe they did that. But Apostle Paul says, whatever's happened around me, whatever's happened in my past, whatever's happened in my future, it's not going to move me. I'm not going to quit. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to finish my course with joy. He said, I'm not going to let people move me. I'm not going to let pride move me, because I don't count my life dear to myself. That's what he said. And I am not going to let problems move me. I'm going to continue, and I'm going to push on. And he did. He pushed right through all the obstacles that he went through. If you say, Pastor, what obstacles he went through? Keep reading the book of Acts. And you'll see a little bit of it. many troubles. And sometimes he would just encapsulate his problems with, it was a rough time there. And there was a lot of more rough times. And he reads it. You read his story in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And he said, you know, if you think you've had a hard time, I had a little harder time than you did. If you think you got a resume, I got a resume that beats yours. I'm speaking like a fool, but I'll tell you. I was beaten. I was shipwrecked. I've been stoned. I've been prisoned. I have been beaten with rods, been beaten with whips. Of the Jews, I was beaten numbers of times, 39 times, say, or 40 times, save one. He said, it's just been a rough journey. In prison often. I know what it's like to be in a jail cell. I know what it's like to be cold. I know what it's like to not have enough clothes. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know all of that stuff. And he says, you know, at the end of the day, I found out that God's grace is enough. It helps me. And it'll be enough for you, friend. If it was enough for Apostle Paul, it'll be enough for me, it'll be enough for you. But finishing your course with joy, well, that's what we've been talking about. Number one, you need to stabilize your calling. Make sure you're saved and make sure you're surrendered to the Lord. If you want to finish your course with joy, you can't go to heaven without being saved. And make sure you know that. Make sure God knows you, not that just you know God. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, I went to Hiles Anderson, God, I worked on the bus route, so, hey, I'm in, right? You don't want him to look at you in the eyeballs and say, I don't know who you are. I don't know you. Salvation is when God knows you. Service and getting to know God is when you get to know him. That's service. That's sanctification that is practically done. The second thing that you want to do to finish your course, not only stabilize your calling, but stand a biblical position. Find out what the Bible says and stand there. The winds of change will move. People have opinions. The podcast, this thing, that thing. This guy comes in with this thing. Nothing's new under the sun. Find out what the Bible says and stand your biblical position doctrinally and practically. Listen, if it's right for girls to dress modestly now, it'll be right in 15 years. If it was right 30 years ago, it's right today. If rock music was wrong in the 60s, rap and R&B is wrong today. You can't blend that stuff. You're going to have to decide, you know what? That's not going to change me. I want to finish my course with joy. Garbage in, garbage in, garbage out. And you cannot help but speak of the things that you've seen and heard. And boy, you ought to put a guard upon your eyes and say, God, I do not want to change practical Christian living. Stand your biblical position. Number three, settle your offenses. Settle your offenses. When something happens to you, you've got to deal with it. And forgiveness is God's way of dealing with conflict. If you don't settle your offenses, you're going to be drinking liquid Drano, hoping it hurts a person to hurt you. When they're not thinking about you, you'll still be thinking about them. Some of you, you've got young lives. When you close your eyes at night, you're thinking about a bad thing that happened to you or a person that did something wrong to you rather than the goodness of God and the land of the living. And it's eating you up. They're not thinking about you when you're thinking about them, and it's what we call bitterness. And it troubles us and defiles others around us. Young people, please, if you want to finish your course with joy, stabilize your calling, stand your biblical position practically and doctrinally, and then you need to settle your offenses. If you say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I got so much hurt going on inside of me. I don't know where to start. Well, let's start someplace. Let's start at the cross. Let's start forgiveness. Let's start with being a tender heart. Let's start with being forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Let's start. The next thing I want to share with you is sweeten your spirit. Sweeten your spirit. Who is a man the Bible was known who had an excellent spirit? Someone tell me. Just say it. Daniel. Just because that's your name, you want to say that, didn't you? Daniel, that's great. Daniel, probably one of the only men in the Bible, with the exception of possibly Joseph, that is prominent. There's just not too much negative said about those two guys. And the one thing about Daniel that was unique is that he had an excellent spirit. When he was young, he was robbed of his chance to get married. It wasn't his choice. He was mutilated, made a eunuch. So having a future children was not even in his, from the time he was 15, 18 years old, he was never going to be a dad. He was never going to be a husband. He was taken away from his family, taken away from what he loved back in Israel, taken to a place and learned a whole new language and was a slave to some extent. But one thing he had going for him, he always kept an excellent spirit. He was an old man when he was put into the lion's den. But there's something special. The Bible says the spirit of a man and a woman will sustain their infirmities. All of us have differences and damages. Every one of them. When people get married, they always come into that marriage with differences and damage. But one thing that really trumps those things is a good spirit. When someone can have a good spirit, we find that David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, whenever they came over Ziklag and they see that it's burned, there's nothing but ashes, and little footprints and shoes of little kids that they hoping to come and grab them and hug them and love them and waiting for wives to come over. When they came over the hill, and all they see now is fire and nothing's there and no dead bodies though. But they had no more power to weep. And they thought, like, somebody's got to be responsible. Let's kill David. Teaches us that hurting people hurt people. They got to find somebody that's responsible, and they've got to throw rocks at them or try to find someone to blame. By the way, don't be in that group. Don't be someone trying to find everybody else. It's everybody else's problem. This person hurt me, and that person hurt me, or that person didn't handle this right, and my friend didn't do this, and this right here. Don't do that. But they did that, and the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, that he encouraged himself. And you have to dig down deep. And one thing we can do, we can't change circumstances, but we can change our perspective. I've seen people that have so much hurt and difficulty and pain in their life. I couldn't even imagine it. There are people in this college that sit around you, and you have had a cakewalk compared to them. You've been on a lifetime picnic, and they've been in the trenches of combat. All kinds of problems. And sometimes the kids who have it easiest have the sourest attitude. And the people that have really the hardness, they're able to put a spring in their step and say, you know what? God can help me. It's not a matter of circumstance. It's a matter of sweetening your spirit. Four things. Stabilize your calling. Number two, stand your biblical position. One day you'll be glad you stood for God and for the Word of God. You'll be glad you stayed holy. You'll be glad when you just say, you know what, I wasn't all that and I had some issues, but boy, I'm just glad that I am today what I was back then. I stayed true. Settle your offenses and sweeten your spirit. These are things that will help you finish your course with joy. Heard about the guy that when he was sleeping, his kids put Limburger cheese on his mustache and messing with him. It was the grandkids did. And he woke up and he said, man, the living room stinks. And if you ever know what Limburger cheese is, it smells terrible. It's a terrible smelling cheese. They put it on his mustache. He said, living room stinks. He walked into the bedroom and said, man, the bedroom stinks. He went into the kitchen. To the kitchen stinks, honey. It smells. The whole house smells. He went out to the front yard. She said, go out and sit in the front yard. He goes, the whole world stinks. And what was stinking was underneath his nose. And sometimes people that are just miserable, they blame the living room, they blame the bedroom, they blame the kitchen, they blame the world. And really, they're walking around with a sour spirit. Don't be that person. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the joy of being in chapel today. Bless our students. Help us to finish our course with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll please sit aside just for a second, there's a few announcements to go through. I think, Brother Rob, you have those.